Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. Could I get my iPad here, Pastor? Okay. I am reading a book, What Darwin Didn't Know. And it's written by a medical doctor whose understanding of physiology and all biological systems that happen in our bodies, and also the development of a human being from two cells to a fully grown, mature human being. And I am fascinated by natural science because it is incredible what God has made here in this world and in the whole universe. When I read something, I might take note of it, and I have something here. I don't want to get bogged down in it, but just regarding the neurological system. And by the way, we have seven grandchildren, and our youngest slept overnight with us. She's a year and a half old. And that was fun because she's just learning to talk, and learning words, and the brain. And here it says it can store about between 100 trillion and 200 quintillion bits of information in 3 pounds of matter in your brain. With cushioned by fluid, complex network of blood vessels, life cannot begin without a brain, and life ends in 4 minutes without it. Although this organ makes up less than 3% of the total human body weight, it consumes 1/6 of the body's oxygen, 1/5 of the body's calories. Heart, lungs, stomach, kidneys are geared to keep it running. If calorie needs increase, the brain makes the person feel hungry, and so on. Many different things regarding the system. And then how it develops and how fast the neurons grow in the fetus when it's very small in the mother. How many pieces of information. Then imagine a multinational corporation with 35 billion employees who stay in constant touch with each other and are capable of making trillions of decisions every millisecond. They can also make millions of adjustments as needs vary, and on it goes. It's so interesting to read these kind of this kind of information. Brain development begins early. By the embryo's fourth week, there is evidence of nervous tissue. 250,000 cells per minute start migrating outward. They ultimately form 6 layers. Each neuron knows exactly where to go, what to do, how to link up with as many as 10,000 connections. This stuff is so fascinating. And to see how a human being, it's like impossible. But lying next to me in the bed between my wife and I is a little girl that is somewhat like us. And when we teach her the word goat, she goes, go. And learns, I believe I read somewhere, at one stage they learn 11 words a day. And they just start building their vocabulary and linking things together and communicating. And voila, a human being. Whoa. Well, I want to say, I think I've got it here. If, just to draw a little picture, if the birth of a human being is represented by that in history, then, like, is there more, or what we have called in times past, super history? there is an iPhone that is also incredible, and where it came from and how it was made and the ideas. And then what is it for? What is its ultimate design for? What is its purpose? We can say why the human being. We can say what, but can we say why? Why is there a human being? Why do two human beings make another human being? Why? Why is there life on this planet? And so far, we don't find it on any other. Why is the universe dust, dirt, gases, space, vacuity? Why? Why is a blue whale the largest animal on the earth? Listen to this, 30 yards long. The blood vessels are so big that a human being can fit in a blood vessel in a blue whale. The engine, the heart of a blue whale is about the size of a Volkswagen car. Why? Why are there these systems? Why is there the material world? Why do we have design? Why do we ask the question, why? Good stuff. Ah, yeah. Well, it brings us to super history. And if you want to even go beyond, and we go beyond and beyond, and we come to the spiritual, where we believe there is no real answer for these questions other than God himself. All of the world is designed to bring us to God. We are made to ask the question so that we would come to God. That we would say, your works are amazing, Psalm 139. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. All our parts, even before they were seen, listen to that in Psalm 139. Even before our parts were seen, they were written in a book. What book? The big picture book. Meaning, the big picture book. The book that tells us what is the point. And in a word, it is, we are all made for the glory of God. Ultimately, everything goes back to him. When we talk about nature, you know, in the university, we all speak about it, study it. I mean, I've been there. I did it many years ago. Many of you have done it. Or in any school, we come up to the point where we don't want to acknowledge God. You know, in biology class, it'd be, whoa, wow, wow. And then you're just like short of saying, praise God. You know, you can't do that. Because, you know, that's the way it is. So, point number one in our message is just to introduce the subject. Our physical world, our physical bodies, the marvel of life itself is obvious and right in our face. You know, the French philosopher that said, I think, therefore I am. In our theology, we say, there are things that are intuitively understood, like my existence, like I exist. I believe that. When I fall asleep and I have a dream and I wake up, I know which one is the reality, which is the dream, and which is the world that is real. It's intuitively written in our makeup. But there is something even more in this life that is extraordinary. There is something that is amazing, that is only revealed to us in the scripture and in your own personal life when it happens to you. And it is the new birth. It is when we are regenerated is the Titus 3:5, regenerated, born again, John chapter 3, born from above. Now, when this happens to us, and we'll speak about it a little later in the message, when we have this new birth, it is 1,000 times greater than our first material birth. Our material birth is remarkable. The formation of our brain, all the chemical synapses, all of the hormones, the pituitary gland, all of the function, my heart rate, blood pressure, function of organs and kidneys and so on. It's amazing, the body. But the new birth is extraordinary, amazing, remarkable. Because God had decided in his own heart and mind, based on his own wisdom, to give us the gift of his Son. That we would be born of God. The first time we are born in a way, we are born of the will of man. In a sense, we could say that. If a man and woman never decided to have sex together, if they never, they said, this will not happen, in a way, then it won't happen, of course. Well, definitely it will not happen. But in a way, it is like a decision they can make. As strange as it might be, whatever, it's not the point. Point is that you and I were born again, not by the will of man. We were born again by the will of God in John 1:11. Not of flesh, not of the will of man, but we were born again of the will of God. Well, in this story, another extraordinary thing happened that was of a unique nature, happened only once and never will happen again. And an angel came to say what would be happening. An angel came to two people. An angel came to Zacharias and said that his wife would have a child, and his name was Gabriel. And this is in chapter 1 and verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. This is the King James version this morning. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." This is John the Baptist's birth. Natural birth, however, but the angel told the priest. The priest was a godly man, his wife Elizabeth, past age. And in a way, it wouldn't be possible, but God did it. And that happens, by the way. God can do it. And we've heard so many beautiful stories about God giving, God intervening or healing people, it happening, children born, even twins in some cases. We've heard those stories. Beautiful, amazing. The angel is there because this is an exceptional man of God. This is a prophet who is going to make the way turn people to Christ when he comes. This man will be a unique man, a godly man, prepared of God with a beautiful ministry. And even though short, but he will kind of stir up the whole country toward God and say, to tell them and to baptize them in by way of a symbolic turning to God. Come to God, turn from your ways, get prepared. Prepared, the Messiah is coming. This is the idea. So now turn to Matthew, please, in chapter 1, in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. I can't, my little diagram up on the screen there. I want to emphasize it a little bit more. There's the birth of a human being, and then behind it is the spiritual reality of this world that we live in. Angels are here, 34:7, Psalm 34:7. Angels come and go. God is God, and he is sovereign, and he does his will with the human race. The world is not so interesting outside of this planet. This planet is the place where a lot is happening. I don't know that, but I'm suggesting to you that this is the place where human beings are, where a battle is going on. This is the place where Christ came, here in this world, that this is important to God. This planet is important. These people are important. This is the place. Well, when we look at life only in this way, like maybe we could just say, here, this world scientifically, this is material, and it is the way it is. We don't believe in God and so on, these ideas. And that's all there is. Then I don't have the sense of purpose. I can't see really what is really going on. I can't believe that this is an accident. All the trillions of synapses in my brain, the amazing development of a human being from two cells, all of this is an accident. Where did all the DNA come from? How does that little organism, it says, when the fetus is like three weeks old, there are cells there. And the little heart, the little part that becomes a heart, the cell starts to beat. Like a very small fetus, the beating. And the electrical sequence is important on the heartbeat, because it has to beat because it's a pump, and there has to be a signal. And that signal is there in those cells, because the DNA is telling, or our RNA, it's like building the mechanism. Well, if this is all an accident, it's like incredible, right? So let that be what that is. I am saying there's even more. There is a throne of God. There are angels that stand at the throne of God. There are angels that come into this world. This angel came to Zacharias, and when Zacharias questioned the plan, Gabriel said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God." Now, this kind of stirs in me the meditation on prayer. Because as human beings, like just to emphasize the humanity here, how do we think and live generally? How much money is in my pocket? How much money is in the bank? How is my health? What is my blood pressure like? How are my kids doing? Where do I live? What's my job? What's my future? Where is my security? How is my car running? And I'm kind of filled with myself and my life. I'm filled with my life. I'm filled with myself. I'm filled with my ideas and my opinions. And now I come to prayer. I went to church and I heard we should pray. So I come to prayer and now I'm like filled with myself as I pray. And I'm talking to God about all these things, or I'm thinking about it. And I need to learn something new. And this is in your spiritual DNA, our new birth. We are children of God. And it is the Holy Spirit in us that is leading us and teaching us in how we relate to this bigger, this world that has no end. This world of God. This world where God is at the center and not me. This world where I'm interested to know what is it that God is doing. How exciting that is, that I would like to have a heavenly father. And let's illustrate it. I'm just a man that's going to go meet an important person. I'm going to meet an important person, whoever that, let's say, the mayor, the city governor of the state, president of the country, an important CEO of a company, a professional athlete or some important person I would respect. When I go to see them, how do I think? I want to think what they are thinking. Who are they? Why am I meeting them? What is my relationship with them going to be? If I'm talking about myself, they would be bored. Right? Prayer is when we kind of empty ourselves and we say, we are coming before the living God who made the heavens and the earth and is holding everything together by the word of his power, who takes a little baby from the womb of its mother. And it is born and brought into this world. And many other things that we could say about our Almighty God, who by nature has revealed himself to us in this world. But more, that he gave us his Son. And that is a extraordinary miracle that the angel would come to Mary and say. And I like the idea that an angel came. It's like out of our world of humanity, even we could say, why didn't the man of God come and tell Mary? No, I think this is of such great import that the roots of it are not rooted in fallen man. The roots of it are rooted in the very nature of God and his grace. So, chapter 1, in verse, I think we did 19, we'll go to 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is that exceptional birth that could never be explained by natural means. You know, how could a virgin have a child? Yeah, right. Exactly. It's impossible. Right. That's the point. It was not a natural birth. It was the Holy Spirit that came into her and gave her that miracle. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. John Wesley was, I think, 84 or 86 years old when he died. On his deathbed, he whispered, Emmanuel, best of all, God is with us. I am excited about it in my heart because I have this idea about prayer in my life and principle. And if I could, like, approach God in the meditation, take an attribute of God, God is everywhere present, and meditate on it. He is in the Pacific Ocean. He is on the farthest sea. I mean, farthest star. He is in the darkest corner. He is in everything, and he is everywhere. God, you are God, and you stop there and meditate on it and relate to him and say, I appreciate it, God, that you would let me know this, that you would tell me that this is your nature. Then I go to another attribute. He is all-powerful, and I just think of every, you know, those thoughts that I could think about power and who God, what God is. He can say to the ocean, here shall your proud waves be stayed, like he said in the book of Job. Like he cannot, like God is almighty God with all the stars and all the galaxies and all the planets and everything out there. And then in a little child or in a flower or in a bacteria, God is God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I think too highly of myself. I think too much about myself. I am too occupied with my life. This life is no problem with God. God is able. God is in the detail. God is God. This is a thing that the angel is coming from the presence of God, speaking to a woman, and basically she's saying in a beautiful, reasonable way, how could this be? I don't know a man. Let's read verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, oh, I'm sorry, we read that in verse 23. We read verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, go to Luke just to catch that portion, and we will say a few more things and finish up. It's Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I've lost my way here. I think when that happens, I'll just keep moving on. Okay. Let's see. What I want to really say is, in prayer and in Mary's life in the story, she decided to believe, and in believing, it happened. And as a way of life for you and I, why not imagine the world of heaven as we read in Revelations chapters 21 and 22? Why not believe in the world that Christ came into this world to show us? Why not believe in what he says, so that when he is kind of amazed at our unbelief, we would say, "Yes, Lord, he's amazed. Like, he's in this world, and he's so close with God, and walks with God, that his world is like the world that we want to learn." Like, remember when the man was blind and they said, "Why is he blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin?" And Christ said, "No, this is for the glory of God." And he in a way didn't explain it except by saying, "In this case, I am here and I know my Father's will is for this man to be healed." And he was healed. Somehow, the world that we are believing in, the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, like, stretch yourself. Believe me. Don't be so filled with yourself, but be believing that actually I am God, and what I say and my plan and what I want to see happen and what I am doing in this world is a blend of the material world with the spiritual world. And that, yes, I am in the body of Jesus, and I am God, and he is without sin, and he is the Christ, the messenger, and hear him. Because your yoke is very hard, and your ways are very difficult, and your rebellion is very torturous. But if you will come to me and hear what I say, you'll take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you begin to believe the things that I say. You begin to walk in the Spirit. You'll find a new way, a new and a living way. You'll find freedom for your soul. And this is what Jesus did. I have a short list of things that I want to make a mention to regarding the kingdom coming through him. The message of the kingdom. And this is the message of the kingdom of Christ. He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. It was sublime, like to be with Jesus, like there was a depth there. It was sacred. Like you had the fear of God. If you didn't have the fear of God, probably you wouldn't hang around with Jesus so long. But if you just felt like I was saying, when I come to somebody important, I want to kind of get into their world and relate to them, and maybe they could help me, or maybe I will get to know them, and I relate to them. And with Christ, with God himself, he wants us. That's why we are regenerated. And being regenerated, we want the sacred, sublime authority of the kingdom. I'm looking for it. That's why you are here this morning. We are looking for it. We want some authority in our life that is bigger than that little box. I want some explanation for life that is bigger than science. I respect it and I appreciate it, but it is not enough for me. It cannot tell me. It cannot give me the ministry that Christ gives me. It is Christ that gives us the ministry that changes our world. It changes our world. It does. Number two, it is very, Christ's work was very wise. He was wise. That's what's lacking. Have you noticed? Lacking, like you can make a decision, but where does it lead me? Christ knows where, what it is and where it is going. I want to know where it is going, like making decisions and being related to God and gaining wisdom. This is the key. This is why we are with Him and walk with Him. Number three, if you are with Jesus, you also see that the judgments that He has are very severe. Oh, this is refreshing. What is very severe? You see, when this baby came into the world, He wasn't like us. He was different. Like, He was deep, He was wise, and He was very severe. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, He's the one that preaches about hell. He is the one that tells us about judgment. He is the one that tells us about the severity of life. He tells us that this is important. Be alert. Be awake. Have all everything turned on. Be ready to roll, like be awakened unto me. You are regenerated. Without being regenerated, we cannot see the kingdom. But because we are regenerated, now we see the kingdom. Yes, I believe He was raised from the dead. Yes, I believe He ascended into heaven. I believe He seated at the right hand of God. I believe the Holy Spirit has been sent into this world so that we could see and understand the kingdom of God before we get there. But here, while we are here in this life, living in these bodies and living for this purpose, eternal life, divine purpose, angels coming and going, and an angel coming and telling Mary getting the message, having a question about it, and yet, let it be unto me according to your word. And in the same spirit, we are saying this to God in an everyday way of life. His attributes, yes, Lord. Another attribute, love. Another attribute, His wisdom. Another attribute, righteousness. And you find yourself getting very quiet and very respectful and becoming a worshiper. And you find yourself spirit-filled and comforted and encouraged. Be still and know that He is God. And know the nature of God. And know it very well in the Scripture. And meditate on it. And the last thing about His ministry and His message of the kingdom of this amazing baby is that He is very compassionate in all its good news. He is a friend of sinners. He is a physician of the sick. He is a refresher of the weary and the heavy laden. He is a blesser of children. He is a proclaimer of good tidings. And He's a promiser of paradise to the dying thief. This man that came, this unique person that came into the world was God, and this God proclaimed to us something that we had not understood before, and that is God's great compassion. And then one more thing I want to say. He is making great demands on you and me. Great demands on you and me. If you come to Him like this, you are regenerated, and now you're just emptying yourself, and you're thinking about Him and relating to Him, and you get real quiet. The Holy Spirit ministers to you, and you begin to think about it, and you just say, God, here I am. And He says, I want everything, all your heart, everything about you, all your time, all your family, all your things. I want everything. I make all unconditional surrender to me. I am God, and I am worthy of everything that you are, everything about you. Give it to me, and believe me, he is unreserved in making his demands upon us as people. This amazingly affects us. It builds us up. We are satisfied by Christ. Stay in a little box. There is no satisfaction. There is restlessness. There is trouble. There is guilt. There is fear. There is confusion. Get it beyond it and let God penetrate into our world. We are born again, and now we are able to relate to him, meditate upon him, and worship him, and he's able to lead us into something a lot bigger, better, more secure, does not collapse. It does not fail. It is not holding back. But all that God is, he has given to us in his Son. And that is the greatest thing in the whole world. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, why was the angel important? Because he came from you into a natural world, and he did something. He told a message of something extraordinary. Even the birth of a child in the natural is incredible, but this birth, this child, is millions of times more incredible. And then our new birth is way beyond in its meaning and how incredible it is. And unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But he must be born again by believing in Christ in his heart. And anyone here, please, that has never done it, now is your time. Please do it. Believe in him and trust in him on the internet. Please do it. Believe in him and trust in him personally. And say, Jesus, I believe in you. Say it, please, in your heart. And then anyone saying that prayer, please raise your hand and say yes to Jesus and raise your hand. Anyone, and the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all, raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Yes, Father, thank you in your name. Amen.